All right, welcome back to the Constitutionals Podcast. I'm your host, Chad White. If you didn't know, this is the premier podcast for the website, cpluscomedy.com. Like I just said, it's a website. Go there, episode 284 of the podcast you forgot you're subscribed to. Let's get into this. If you're watching the video, you saw me messing with the also hi hello. You saw me messing with the something over to my left camera right. Just because I'm not on television right now doesn't mean I'm not still ready to go. And I was playing with the cable, the XLR cable that's connected to the Zoom H6, which is connected to this Blue Yeti microphone, and which is all that's connected to the Mac. A Thunderbolt dock and then the Mac. No big deal. And the iPad. But for some reason, and you can't hear it, but prior to the show, if I start the, if I enable the mic 4 where the iPad is plugged in, for some reason I'm hearing enough static and it's creating like TV signals. And it's not the TV that's over there. And I can hear, like, or radio signals. I can hear radio signals from wherever. And I can hear, like, full words, sometimes songs. And it is the craziest, one of the most eerie things. I don't like it. Anyway, golf is on right now. I think it's the Players' Championship. I think so. It is. It is the Players' Championship. Oh, it's almost St. Paddy's Day. And I just slipped into this voice. St. Paddy's, excuse me, not St. Paddy's. What's going on? I was trying to see Kung Fu Panda 4 today. Very true. At 11:45. I might just do it tomorrow. I wanted to have something to talk about. No, I just wanted to do it just because I could. I like the Kung Fu Panda movies. My concern about this movie, which I'm sure every Kung Fu Panda fan has had, because I had to Google to see if they had the Furious 5 in this, is that the Furious 5 is barely in it. In the first movie, they were like the main characters alongside Poe. And then the second movie, they have reduced screen time. In the third movie, they're barely there. Now in this movie, apparently they're just there, like in the background, like waving at Poe. Oh God! The only time tomorrow is at Realty 3D, and it's 11:45. I would go to see 11:45, but I'm not paying money to go see a real D 3D movie. And I guess I'm not saying Kung Fu Panda in theaters. I guess I'm not being an adult and seeing it in theaters. You know what? I'm looking at times for next Tuesday, which I will not be able to attend. But I wanted to see Dune again. It's very true. I wanted to see Dune again, only in Dolby. Or IMAX. That's a movie. Oppenheimer in IMAX, 70 million IMAX, is going to be... I was thinking about this, watching the Oscars, which happened. I was thinking about this. There are movie experiences that I will never, ever forget. Whether it be because I was with a group of friends and we all enjoyed it. Project X, saw it in college. And I was with a bunch of my friends and... and we all like arrived in separate, I think it was like two different groups, a total of five guys, burgers and fries. It's cost too much money to go there and eat. That was a news story I saw. They were talking about not just shrinkflation, but also the rise of, fast food and fast casual. And that was at a time when I was eating that. And I guess we went there. Anyway. I don't know what I was getting at. But anyway, there was a story about that last week I saw. But my friend, I drove me and my friend Mike, and we ran into the theater just as the movie was starting. Like, literally ran in. And I don't know. This is a big thing. I don't like sitting near people. This is something that when I was going to movies throughout college, it slowly and surely I built that requirement in. But when we ran in, the guys had chosen, the three other friends, Matt, Joel, and Kevin, had chosen not front row seats up front, but a cardinal sin of front row seats by the door, and that right when you walk in the middle section, and these three women sat behind us and were talking the entire time. And we're like, this is a movie about parties, and yeah, this is gonna be great. And then these women are like, judging all the women, going, look at these girls, like, why are you here? Let us enjoy the movie. Also, I saw the Hunger Games in college, the midnight showing. I also don't do midnight showings, but I saw midnight showings of the last three Harry Potter movies, the last two ones. Hunger Games, I saw the first three midnight showings, right? Or two. It might have been two. How often did those movies come out? Also, that last Hunger Games movie, Ballad of Song of Snakes. I enjoyed it. Well, it turns out I was... Yeah, 2008. No, wait. Those are books. Hold on. We got to find the movies. Where are the movies? How do you get to the movies? I don't need the novel. I want the movie. Which is not bad. 2012. So I saw that. We definitely saw that one. And then let's go see the other ones.
Let's all go to the movies.
Oh, yeah, because then Hunger Games Catching Fire came out the following year. That's how you should do it. If you're going to put out movies, that's how you should do it. There's the Kevin Costner movies, the new ones, Horizon, I think that's what they're called. They're coming out within a couple of months of each other. He's doing four, but they're coming out. The first two are coming out right after, back to back, in theaters. Horizon and American Saga Chapter 1 and Chapter 2. Chapter 1 is coming out June 28th, 2 days after my birthday. And then the second part is coming out August 16th. I don't know when the other two will be out. But I love that idea. And I understand that you want to rule the box office and have Oscar eligibility for 1 year and then another year. But I think if you can shoot movies back to back and put them out, then let's go do it. Do it. That's what they should have done for the Harry Potter. If you do a part one and a part two, that's what you should do. Put out part one in November or something, and then put out part two in May. That's what the Hunger Games did for Mockingjay Part 1, November 21st, and Mockingjay Part 2. That was 2014, and then the next year, the same week, 2015. That's what I'm thinking. Avengers. That's what they should have done. Infinity War, then Endgame. It would have been the biggest 6 months in the world for any movie ever. That's what they should have done for Harry Potter, Twilight. And I understand why they had to wait the time. I know that. I'm in the industry. I'm just saying. All right, let's get to this. So anyway, I'll see Kung Fu Panda apparently when it comes to streaming. Because at that point, now it's only going to be in the theaters. I only want to see movies. I want to see them in the morning. One of my goals in life, and this is very true, I'm going to own a movie theater. And we'll play popular movies, we'll play art house, whatever, who cares. It's going to have great screens. We're going to have Dolby branded. And also, I'll open it at 10 a.m. I will open it at 10 a.m. For losers like me who go, all right, done with the gym, I'm not working today. Oh, the movie's open. Let's go see Kung Fu Panda. All right, let's do the first story. I'm rearranging, so please pay no mind. A lot of Deadline in today's source. This comes from Deadline. There's a bug in here. I had the door open. Did I get it? I didn't get it. I had the door open. It's 83 degrees here in Atlanta, Georgia. And I had the door open so the cat could go outside. And then at some point I opened it again so the dog can go outside, so they could go outside together. He plopped right down in front of her. And she came inside because she was mad at that. And then I saw a wasp. I saw a couple of bees. It was, you know, whatever. Nice day. And I come inside to come do this. And I see two freaking bugs flying around. Not bees or anything, but like gnats. And I'm pissed. I hate it. Anyway, analysis. This is written by Max Goldbart. The BBC and Netflix unveiled their landmark 5-year disability partnership with fanfare in 2021. But 2.5 years later, the industry is questioning where the shows are. This happened at the 2021 Edinburgh TV Festival. They came together, these companies, and they were trying, they were doing initiatives, a lot like how CBS said it was only going to cast diverse people from now on. Like, it was going to have diverse casts in its Big Brother, in its reality shows, and its scripted shows as well. I think it's proven really good for them because Survivor, in the past couple of seasons, has been really diverse. We've had two black winners on Big Brother for a couple of seasons, and Amazing Race has just been moving and grooving with diversity as well. And we got shows like Bob Hart's Abishola. We have shows like Ghosts that are just so brown. It's amazing. In recent months, sources from the UK drama and TV and disabled TV communities have begun questioning the partnership, getting in touch with Deadline unprompted to query why a tie-up that was unveiled with such fanfare has so far failed to bear fruit. The picture for I haven't been in news a minute, but I haven't been in print digital news for a minute, but the picture that's at the top of the article is shows a woman in a wheelchair and a man next to her. It's from a show called We Might Regret This, and with these shows and with these movies, what happens, what I've noticed is there a lot of, and also this is a problem with movies and shows with people of color and women as well, is that the only way they get made is if you can work in the disability or whatever the diverse thing in quotes is into the plot of the show or the plot of the movie. So, look at movies. Oh God, now I can't even think of that movie. Is it called, Women? Is it called Women Suffering? Is that what that movie is? What is that movie called? Because I called it like, anyway. But there's, you know, movies like Coda or 12 Years a Slave. They're only those movies can exist because, you know, they're made for Oscar season. They're made for the disability. They're made for that adversity. Bombshell is one of those movies, I would presume. No people of color in that. Although I love Charlize Theron. She's great. I can feel. My God, I had to sneeze. It's this pollen. It's gonna get me. This year is going to get me. It got me last year and the year before. But not that. The year prior to that. The people that contacted were, one professional said it's slightly bizarre. They've heard nothing from anyone. There's no definitive answer. Another person, Ann Minsa, who oversees UK content for Netflix, said that they wanted to, quote, firmly place the shows alongside our most talked about original dramas. I mean, but see, that goes, like, that just goes to show that they're only looking to promote it if it has a reason to tell, you know, like, oh, this person is missing their legs because, you know, this is how it ties into the story. No, you don't have to do that. Deaf, disabled, and neurodivergent, this is more from the quote, creators are some of the least well-represented groups on television in the UK, and put simply, we want to change that fact. Together with the BBC, we hope to help these creators tell the biggest and boldest stories and speak to the broadest possible British and global audience. Some of the shows, one of the issues is some of the shows are in development hell. It's been, the BBC says that, quote, several dramas are in funded development under this partnership, and we hope we'll be in position to commission one of them soon. Come on, man. Oh, my gosh. Sources question the help of BBC's relationship with Netflix, given the lack of publicity given to the partnership in recent months. Separate from Netflix, the BBC has greenlit a number of high-profile projects from disabled talent since The Brief was launched, including We Might Regret This from The Office producer Rough Cutt, and Village Roadshow Television Reunion from deaf scribe William Mager and Warp Films, and The Rapture starring Years and Years' Ruth Madeley. Netflix shows to feature disabled talent include Special, Deaf You, All the Lights We Cannot See, and Sex Education, the streamer's recent documentary talent-funded winners. Meanwhile, included a project about renowned deaf DJ Troy Lee. Now, I know what I said before about them only wanting to tell the stories if they're making, you know, telling the stories of a deaf person or a paraplegic person, if the show or movie is about that. And a lot of these shows and movies seem to be about that. More specifically, the Netflix shows like Special and Deaf You and all the things, All the Lights We Cannot See. However, I do think that some of these people are just creating shows and movies that any person who is not afflicted with these, not living with these types of specialties, but who's not living like as a deaf person or as a neurodivergent person, I feel like they're not really making those shows either. I mean, you know, a deaf person could want to just make another version of, you know, I mentioned The Office earlier. It's from We Might Regret This, people. So, they might, or the Office producer, Rough Cutt, made We Might Regret This. So, you know, maybe those people might want to make, you know, their version of The Office. Maybe there's a person out there who's just like, hey, I like The Office. I want to do my version of The Office. Anyway, it's just an interesting thing to point out. This next one, comes from Deadline, again written by Caroline Frost. Netflix cancels Breakpoint after tennis series fails to match the success of Drive to Survive. Now, Drive to Survive is the F1 show that blew up during the pandemic, and since then there have been innumerable amount of shows to come in the style of that show, whether from that producer of the show, Drive to Survive, or not. So Drive to Survive is 6 seasons long. They just released the latest season. They've also got Full Swing, which is the golf one. They've also done, I know they've done more. So I'm going to Netflix.com. Jiminy Christmas. Oh, my God. Oh, no. Why did this not mute? Okay. Max, I don't like Max. All the time, my LG MX keys and MX master keys and other things, it's ridiculous. They get like disconnected, or the function row stops working. Why do they make the PC version so hard to use? Okay. So they've also got a new show called NASCAR Full Speed. They've also done Tour de France Unchained, I believe. I don't know. Anyway, but I started watching those shows because I got this treadmill that's opposite this wall in my storage unit. And every time I run on it or walk on it, I'm either watching, you know, last night's Hawks or Mavericks game. The previous nights, rather, or during football season, if I fell asleep during Sunday Night Football, or fell asleep during Thursday Night Football, or what have you, just mostly sports stuff, because that's what I can just look down, glance at, and look back up at the iPad and keep running and be like, you know, hear Peloton, be like, you're a mom, you're great. But I never, my biggest issue, especially with these shows, is that, let's get back to the point of diversity from the last story, is that there's not enough diversity, and when there is, they lump them together. So case in point, when there are two brown people on Full Swing, Colin Morikawa and Jason Day, they got one episode together, as opposed to every other golfer who is getting multiple episodes, or they're giving the LIV golfers all of their dues and giving them like entire two episodes. For Full Swing, the show, one of the issues that they're talking about for season three, because they just released season two, is not getting access to the tennis people, not getting the most access they need. People like Coco Gauff or Nick Kyrgios, even though Nick Kyrgios is so far, I think, one of the biggest stars from it. But for me, for that show, for Breakpoint in particular, for just Breakpoint, is that it turned into like essentially a life show for some of these people. And yes, let's say they chose the eight tennis people, tennis pros or what have you, but they're showing like Taylor Fritz and his girlfriend, you know, going to dinner, and they talk about tennis casually, but they're just going to dinner. Like, I don't want to see this guy go like hang out with her. I don't care. I want to see tennis. That's the biggest issue. So anyway, the Times of London reports that the documentary series Breakpoint has been canceled after two seasons, citing poor ratings and lack of success to the sport's leading figures. Thing is, I don't care about Taylor Fritz and the other people they chose. I'm a little iffy on, except for, you know, Nick Kyrgios and hold on, let me see, because there's a lot of people on that show that I do like. There's other people on that show that I could give a crap less about. They did Francis Tiafoe for like half an episode. Tom Ljubicic, she's great. Who else? Humstels. Taylor Fritz was in five episodes. It's ridiculous. It says Francis Tiafoe's in four, but I don't see anything. You can't say Nadal's in six episodes. They don't interview him or Novak. They don't follow Carlos. They mostly follow Sabalenka and Ons Jabeur, which are great. I like those two women. They're great. And Tsitsipas. Anyway. Producers who enjoyed intimate access to figures on and off the track of Drive to Survive became frustrated by the hoops they had to jump through to feature the tennis's biggest stars. And the series failed to feature prominently the undoubted biggest story of tennis in the world in the last 2 years. The controversy created by Novak Djokovic's failed attempt to enter the Australian Open after having refused to take the COVID vaccine. I think, yeah, that is a huge story, because that would be like not covering LIV, but it's not as big as LIV was to the PGA. And it just seemed, they could have definitely mentioned it, but I don't think it's as important as what is going on here. I think that's just speculation. As a result, the newspaper reports, the series is unlikely to return unless viewing figures improve significantly for the second season. Again, if you like something, you have to watch it. Truly, that is how TV works. If you like a cartoon, if you like a drama, if you like a reality show, watch it. All right, this next one comes from Android Police, written by Manuel Vanel. Spotify tackles YouTube Music head on with music videos. This is something that I think, you know, years ago it was rumored that Google wanted to buy Spotify, and then Spotify said no, now we have a lot of figureheads in music streaming, which is fine. Competition is great and everything. However, I think that would have been a great acquisition. I don't know how it would have gone, because we know that Google likes to stop doing things and stop working on companies and stuff like that. But I do think that they could have worked on something where YouTube could have provided music videos to Spotify and to Apple Music. Because people watch music videos where? On YouTube Music, because that's why, or YouTube rather, and that's why it's such a big behemoth, is because music, you can just go to YouTube and go Texas Hold'em, Beyonce, and then you can find the lyric video, you can find the Static video, you can find the music video at some point. Starting today, Spotify is rolling out, Spotify is rolling out music videos to some of its paid subscribers. The pets are fighting. The videos are available across all platforms, from your phones to your TV. It's an early pilot phase. There's only a small selection of music videos, and it's people like Ed Sheeran and Doja Cat, Ice Spice, Aluna, and Asake. It just seems like a place where the videos are just uploaded to the Spotify servers, and it's only in a few select regions: UK, Germany, Italy, Netherlands, Poland, Sweden, Brazil, Colombia, Philippines, Indonesia, and Kenya. It's a staged rollout, and so far America doesn't have it. I don't think this is going to drive people to use Spotify more. It is one of the most confusing music apps in the world right now. I have a 3-month subscription. I paid $10 for 3 months for Apple Music. And I had to get, I had to get new headphones. My Powerbeats Pros are just dying, and, you know, God willing, the right one is just really struggling to survive, and they just couldn't hold anything. I have the case right there. So I got Beats Fits Pros, and Powerbeats Pros, they had the hook that goes over the ear, but Beats Fits have ear wings, and those things don't typically fit my ear, but everything's been working so far. I boxed in them today. I've done box jumps. I run with them on the treadmill. They work great. Switching is still a hassle from iPad to Android phone, but whatever. Anyway, I'm enjoying the case is like this big compared to the behemoth. This is gigantic. Anyway, I don't know what I was getting at, but the music on Apple Music sounds great because they have the. I've had Apple Music before, but they have the Dolby Atmos, they have the whatever, lossless and all that stuff. Compared to, no offense to SiriusXM and YouTube Music, which are my two primary ways of listening to music, it just sounds way better. But music videos, I think, are important for people to enjoy music, and Spotify has not ruled out its hi-fi listening thing, so this music video thing works well for them. Tidal also has music videos, and Apple Music as well. But I don't think Vevo is around. They mentioned Vevo, but you'll see. Vevo is still around. I think Vevo was acquired by what is the name of the thing? Google. I thought they were, but they weren't. Anyway. It's just Spotify's late, and this is not going to, I don't think this is going to be something that impacts their bottom line. And in fact, I don't think it's going to be something that they're going to stick with entirely, or like not every song is going to have a music video tied to it. Unlike, you know, YouTube Music, you go to YouTube Music and you pop it open and I can hit on a song like, let me see. Don't play. Do not play. Do not play. If I could hit on a song and it can go, you know, video right there. I can hit on that and it can go to a video immediately. Oddly enough, there is no video for this song. Let me choose American Idiot. No, but yeah, for YouTube Music, the song switching is easy. All you have to do is hit video and it'll literally just start playing the video from right where you were. I got a text like almost immediately as soon as I turned it back. Nothing bad. It's just one of my best friends. Okay, let's move on. This comes from Kevin Roos over at the New York Times. I use his first name because I know this guy. I don't know him personally, but I've heard his voice multiple times. TikTok is its own worst enemy. Speaking of Green Day, do you know your enemy? You're welcome. In 2020, the Trump administration, when the Trump administration first tried to force TikTok's Chinese owner ByteDance to sell the app or risk having it shut down, Ari argued that banning the app in the United States would do more harm than good. Here's the thing. Every so often, you agree with something that a lunatic says. Someone you don't like and you hope disappears from the face of the planet. But you agree with something they say because there is a small point to it. I will say this. I thought banning TikTok would be a good idea because I didn't use it. And there's security threats and everything. But I think if I look back, my argument would probably have been not fully ban TikTok, but regulate it in some sense. And I was listening to Pivot with Scott Galloway, with Kara Swisher and Scott Galloway. And they released a bonus episode of the show from South by Southwest talking about the TikTok ban. And they mentioned how it should have been regulated. And yes, I think regulation would have been the better thing if the Trump administration had started with that. And now we've got the Biden administration talking about banning it, where they passed a bill in Congress, in the House, rather. And at this point, I think it's such a big company. And I saw on CBS Mornings this morning, or I don't know, Today Show or Good Morning America, whichever one, that taking away TikTok would take away millions, hundreds of millions of dollars away from, their words, content creators. And you know what? A lot of people, they sell things on TikTok. This is how they make their money, by making videos, whatever, having advertisers do that. TikTok's not going to disappear. There'll be another way to access it. There'll be different ways to get to it. There's how many, before Elon Musk bought Twitter, how many Twitter apps were there? There were like 4, 5, 6, 10, 12, whatever. And some were better than others, like Hootsuite or TweetDeck. So there'll be different ways to access it. It just won't be TikTok in name if this goes through. But Roos, Kevin, argues that TikTok seemed like the convenient scapegoat for the problems with the invasive data collections, the opaque content policies, addictive recommendation algorithms that plagued all the big social media apps, and partly because he never bought the argument that the app was a Chinese spying tool hidden in plain sight. He's still skeptical about that. But something changed now that ByteDance is basically being forced to shut down U.S. operations or sell the app, which I think selling it would probably be best. But recently, in the past week, TikTok has been pushing out, if you have push notifications on your phone or on your device for TikTok, they're asking you to contact your representatives because of this congressional bill. And as Kevin writes, flood their representatives' offices with angry calls. And to have a 14-year-old, and as Scott Galloway put it, if his sons have TikTok on their phone, he doesn't want them to be used as a foot soldier. And that makes sense. It's a point. You don't want your teenager to be a tool for this app because they couldn't do it right the first time. They couldn't do the things that they should have done. And what Kevin says later on in this piece is that all the time that they spent sending out push notifications for kids to talk, to call, their congressperson's office, they could have basically come up with, reasons why TikTok, or explain TikTok's problems, such as being more transparent when it comes to, I spelled transparent as Tarn's part. Become more transparent, proving that, as Kevin writes, it had nothing to hide and that its relationship to ByteDance was as distant and hands-off as it claimed. show them what's going on behind closed doors. I mean, we more or less know, mostly because of the things that have happened in the past, but we more or less know what's going on at Meta. We know they have tools where if they see child pornography, then they're going to automatically take it down, whether that works or not, or it's too heavy and it sees like a baby and it just takes it down because you have a picture of a baby. The company's leaders, Kevin continues, could have acknowledged and sincerely wrestled with the tension inherent in being a Chinese-owned app that hosts political speech in the United States and other democratic nations, even though some of that speech will inevitably veer in directions the Chinese government doesn't like. Things like that could have been done. But instead, they spent the past couple weeks going, don't, like, stop. Now we're going to get your kids involved. TikTok's now at an impasse. And the chief executive, Xu Zichu, is going to have to figure out what to do. The company expanded its lobbying operations in Washington and resisted transparency when it came into its own operations. Because in 2022, ByteDance employees were caught surveilling U.S. journalists who were reporting on TikTok, gathering data from the reporters' TikTok apps in an attempt to identify who was leaking internal conversations and documents to them. I mean, it's such a stupid thing. And all it has to come down to is you have to do the right thing. Now, coming off of that, this comes from Dominic Patton over at Deadline, who I don't know, so I don't know why I put his name before Deadline. Elon Musk is quote-unquote mad at Don Lemon, and he dumps the ex-CNN anchor's new X show after a one-on-one sit-down. In the pettiest of petty things, Elon Musk is no longer going to be working with Don Lemon, who was fired from CNN, and said, we're going to give him a free speech First Amendment show. He can do whatever he wants. And now he's canceled the show. Don Lemon came out and said it on his own Twitter account, I will not be saying X, that Elon Musk canceled the show after their one-on-one sit down. And on March 18th, you can watch the show on YouTube now. Not sponsored by YouTube or funded by YouTube. And listen anywhere. You get podcasts. He wrote, Elon Musk is mad at me. And I just put out a statement about what happened between him, me, and the interview that he is apparently so upset about. Don Lemon appeared on Aaron Burnett's show on CNN, which I thought was so just out of left field. Don Lemon was let go from CNN. And then now he's on Aaron Burnett's show at his, you know, in the old New York offices going, this is what happened. I can no longer do this. You think he walked into the office and was like, memories, but a book bag hanging off his like one shoulder. They covered uneasy topics like the various lawsuits against Musk, the legal actions Musk himself has instigated, the billionaire's drug use of like ketamine and stuff like that, among others. The March 8th film sit down with Musk clearly got under the Tesla owner's skin. There was a clip on the morning shows this morning that like just a close up of Musk just showed a guy who was clearly, and I couldn't hear because I was cycling and I was listening to Peloton, but the way Musk looked, he was just not pleased with anything that Don was asking him. And according to Don, it was a very cordial chat. He just asked questions. He wasn't trying to be rude or anything. He was just asking questions. So Tucker Carlson is the only one who is doing his show in that way. But anyway, I don't know why I said that. I was just reading that. Soon after Lemon announced his sudden axing by Musk's platform this morning, Twitter released a statement saying that Lemon shows, quote, welcome to publishers' content on it without censorship, as we believe in providing a platform for creators to scale their work and connect with new communities. That's so stupid. I don't know if you just heard the cat meow, but she says it's stupid too. However, like any enterprise, we reserve the right to make decisions about our business partnerships. And after careful consideration, Twitter decided not to enter into a commercial partnership with the show. Oh my gosh. Elon Musk said his approach was basically, quote, just CNN, but on social media, which doesn't work, as evidenced by the fact that CNN is dying. And instead of it being the real Don Lemon, it was just Jeff Zucker talking through Don, so it lacked authenticity. All said, Lemon slash Zucker are, of course, welcome to build their viewership on this platform with everyone else. You're the dumbest human being alive, and you're just, my gosh. It's time for you to just give up. So it's going to go live on YouTube. It's going to go on podcast platforms. You'll get an hour of whatever that interview was. To be so petty and so weak, to be so weak as a human being, why would you continue to... I just don't understand why things like this are happening. I have no comment on any of that stuff. I saw a good piece of news about a TV show I like. Why would you want to? Anyway, it's whatever's been said about Elon has been said 10 times over, 100 times over, 1,000 times over, and he's just a bad person. And I wouldn't have gone into business with him in the first place. Like, I often lament this website not making any money for the past now 11 years, which is fine. Maverick. But even if somebody as lecherous as Elon came to me, is it lecherous? I don't know. And was like, we'll give you this amount of money. Then I still would go, no, I'm sorry. I'm good with this not making money. I'll do it in my own way, please. I do not like him. He's a horrible person. But speaking of things you do like, you can head on over, I like this show, head on over to cpluscomedy.com where you can see everything I've ever done under the sun. Most. Not everything's over there. You can see the other podcasts, Late Night Lately, the Late Night Show, where I talk about late night shows, and LinkedIn Logs, which is the Jobs podcast. You can see video versions of this show and those shows over on youtube.com/cpluscomedy. You can see me, where you can also see me, talk to your favorite people in the entertainment industry. Like Caitlin Pelufo. I just talked to her. We talked about her new album, Dirty Bird, baby, Dirty Bird. If you're listening to the audio version of this show, that'll be up. The audio version will be up as soon as this show is uploaded. And then you'll see, but the video version is already up, so you can go see that right now. You can, what else can you do? You can follow us on social media. Speaking of TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at C Plus Comedy, me, at Chat Black White. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you for subscribing. Tell your friends, tell your family, and we'll see you next time. Okay, I got to talk over this part because it's not to the part where I can go out. It's coming up right now. Bye.